call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along our coverage of the NCAA tournament last night, the Sweet 16 games and the four games that made up last night's really... You sit back and you think, all right, these are going to be good games. They're going to be fun to watch. And, man, when they do, you're like, goodness gracious, three of those games were absolutely fantastic. And UConn, in their win, showed some dominance. Well, Houston is going to be playing tonight. And Joseph Duarte joins us from the Houston Chronicle on a team that has been number one for a good portion of the season. And, again, trying to get to Houston for the Final Four. And he joins us to talk about the Cougars on a Progressive guest line. Progressive drivers switch and save with Progressive. Save nearly $700 on average. How are you, sir?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. This team has been on everybody's radar from the beginning. How have they handled that all season, and how have they handled it in the first two games of the tournament?
Well, they've handled it by going 33-3, which is pretty impressive considering, you know, from the get-go, they've had to answer the questions about the possibility of getting to a Final Four in their own backyard. And the, Kelvin Sampson doesn't let them get caught up in that, doesn't let them really address that. I mean, that's not I know it's coach speak, but that's not a topic in the locker room. But, you know, they certainly, once they've gotten to the tournament, that's been more of a topic as they go along. But those first two games, they had to dig deep. They were down against Northern Kentucky, and then, you know, Marcus Sasser's growing injury was an issue. And then they're down 10 at halftime to Auburn, and then they completely just dominate Auburn in the second half. So it's been an interesting first two games of the tournament, but it's been what they've done all year, and it's been winning.
How is Marcus Sasser's groin injury that we saw in that first game against Northern Kentucky? Came and played against Auburn, but you try to play through them. Where is he as he goes into tonight's contest?
Right. He told us at the practice session on Thursday that he expects to be about 90%.
Okay.
Now, you know how it goes with injuries this time of year. Everyone's got them and no one's 100%. So,
right.
they dodged a bullet because the situation at the American Athletic Conference, when he suffered it, it didn't look good. They held him out of the Memphis game and the championship for precautionary. And then he pulls himself out of the opener because he aggravates the injury. So the fact that, you know, a 2 weeks later that he's out there playing at a good level just shows you how this season's gone for them. They've sort of lived a charmed life for the most part, and they're gonna be, you know, where they need to be in terms of player availability for tonight's game against Miami.
This is such an efficient team offensively, and they pop on all the metrics for all of that. But give me a description of Houston Cougar basketball, if you can.
Well, it certainly doesn't begin on the offensive end. I mean, they're a decent offensive team, but it's defense and rebounding. Those are the pillars of this program. I've heard multiple people say that they win the category of toughness, that they're one of, if not the toughest team in college basketball, and that's the Kelvin Sampson effect. That's what he brings. You know, they're not going to beat you on their first or even sometimes their second shots, and it's never pretty. You're going to see games that are, you know, in the 60s, maybe sometimes even in the upper 50s. But, you know, they've had 36 games now, and only one team this season has scored their season average, and that says a lot for what they do defensively. Because they'll go in and they'll make you do things differently or not do anything at all. And that's been their secret, not only this year, just the last 5 years. They have had to replace multiple starters every year, and they keep getting to Sweet 16s, Elite 8s, and in this case trying to get to a second Final Four. So certainly defensive rebounding is where it all starts for Houston.
That leads me to my next question with Kelvin Sampson. A lot of these coaches have these rocky roads, but then they find a place. How has he found a place in Houston where he's getting this team consistently on our radar every March?
Well, to begin with, he needed somewhere to fix, and that he needed that place to meet him. And he was coming off of the show cause penalty. And, you know, he, at the time, he was an assistant with the Houston Rockets. So it was really the circumstance of the right place at the right time. And he's come in, he had one losing season his first year, and then went to two NITs. And since then, it's been, NCAA tournament each year. So this is a guy that he's got everything he needs around him. He's got his son next to him on the bench. He's got his daughter as the director of basketball operations. His two grandkids are running around the facility. He's planted roots for a 67-year-old man who has no intention to go anywhere else. This is it for him. And what he's turned this program into, no one was talking about Houston basketball before he got there. They hadn't done anything in this program since Five Slamma Jamma in the mid-'80s. And for him to come in and get a facility built, get a new arena in place, he's gotten everything that he wanted, and he's done everything that he thought he could do. And he thinks that he can win a championship at Houston, and they're four wins away from doing that.
From a standpoint, I found these schools fascinating that make their image of the city, where you've got it. Like, I live in Nashville, you've got Vanderbilt, but man, you go around the city and everybody's a Tennessee fan and everybody's a fan.
Right.
In South Florida, in Tampa, but people are Gator fans and they're Florida State fans. Is that the case in Houston? Are most Houstonians, do they root for Houston, or because of those two larger schools in the state, do they more or less dominate the landscape?
Well, even the fact that, you know, Houston's a pro town. You look, you got the Astros,
right? That's true.
Rockets,
that's right.
You got the Texans. That's number one. We used to joke that, you know, the Longhorns and the Aggies were sort of the fourth and fifth professional teams in the city. But Houston's imprint has really taken hold in its own city. They're a draw now. They're a hot ticket for games. There's billboards all over town. You know, they have the slogan for the city. So they've embraced being Houston's team. There's Rice is in town, but they have their small fan base. But Houston has sort of taken its part of the pie and run with it. And Texas and Texas A&M are still large presence just because of their fan base. But Houston has carved a nice little piece of the city, and you know, you go anywhere these days and you don't have to be a Houston Cougar fan in the city of Houston to root for them, and they've sort of kind of captured the attention the last few years, and there's watch parties going on this weekend, and a lot of people, you know, think that this is a team that could win a title, and maybe they throw a parade like they had for the Astros.
Yeah.
With, you know, probably about 500,000 less people, but you still have, they're the hometown team.
We talked about Marcus Sasser. Some of the other Houston players that have made a huge impact for Kelvin Sampson this season.
Jamal Shedd. I'd start there. He's their leader, their floor general. Everything goes through him. He's been a big part of things. And then you look at a guy like Jairus Walker. He was the McDonald's All-American, the five-star. Those guys didn't come to Houston before Kelvin Sampson and really before, you know, this last run of string of tournaments. So, you know, I'd start with those two guys. And then, you know, he doesn't have the when we talk about the big names or the big-time players, their development is where – they've done a lot of their damage. I mean, that's where they're good. And a guy like a Juwan Roberts, who had to wait his turn, wasn't, you know, big part of the plans the last few years. And then he comes in and averages, you know, 10, close to 10 rebounds a game and can do that for you. And then you get a guy like a Tremont Mark, you know, he gets lost in the Sasser shed guard rotation, but he's hit their two biggest shots for them the last few years. He had a tip in against Rutgers in the second round during their final 4 year, and then he has the 26 points against Auburn. So they really pride themselves on being able to develop guys, not just get the one and done. But I'm sure Kelvin would like a few of those whenever he can get them.
I read an article about Shedd where they were sort of exemplifying his leadership, and they said even on a team with like Marcus Sasser, they point to him and they say he's the guy that's running all this. Is that a good description on how he leads this team?
Absolutely. You know, Kelvin will go out and recruit, and he has an idea who his future captain's going to be, who's going to be that guy, and they zeroed in on Jamal Shedd early in the recruiting process. And you know, you look at these guys, they're not on a lot of people's radars. Marcus Sasser was the 399th ranked player in his class, and you know, Jamal Shedd was a scorer in high school, but that's not what they asked him to do here. So they specifically targeted a guy like Jamal Shedd, who they knew could come in, could command respect. He's essentially Kelvin on the court, and Samson's even mentioned that the way that they run things away from the bench at times, he puts everything in Jamal's hands for that first half when he's there on the opposite side of the court. So they feel like he's capable of running things, and you know, we just had a story recently about what it takes to be a Samson point guard, and we went back all the way to, you know, his days at Washington State and Montana Tech, and they all said the same. They said the same thing. You got to be a little crazy, but you also have to. You know, you got to have those intangibles. You got to have that basketball IQ, that toughness. And they said that at the end of the day, they're all going to get together and probably need some therapy. But they're all winners. They all want to win.
That's awesome, Joseph Duarte, Houston Chronicle on the Houston Cougars. They will go up against Miami today in the Midwest region. And again, two wins away from getting to Houston in the Final Four to play in their city. Joseph, good talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much.
No, thanks for having me on.
You got to enjoy the game tonight against the Hurricanes. We'll come back, continue to analyze March Madness. And I got a very good reason why the doorbell rang during that interview in my studio. And I'll tell you why when we come back. It's Wake Up Call.
Your tournament coverage right here on the Sports Map Radio Network, presented by HelloFresh. This spring, HelloFresh is delivering great tasting recipes that help you stick to your food goals, like new dietitian win options that are under 700 calories. Go to HelloFresh.com/hoops60 and use promo code HOOPS60 to get 60% off plus free shipping. HelloFresh.com/hoops60 and use promo code HOOPS60. Now, back to the show.
All right, so while we were in the middle of talking to Joseph Duarte of the Houston Chronicle, you might have heard in the background the doorbell rang and my dog goes crazy. It's, you know, I'm trying to do it in a nice studio that I have, but that was our HelloFresh package that we are really excited for this weekend. HelloFresh delivers great tasting recipes right to your door. And again, as the name implies, farm to your door within 7 days. That's incredible. You know what you're eating is fresh. So in my package, I got bacon and cream supreme spaghetti, creamy lemony herb pork chops, creamy lemon spinach ricotta ravioli, and pork chops and cranberry shallot sauce. Three out of the four, Ron, have a really cool theme in that we apparently like cream stuff. So I've got three creamy dishes and then one pork chops and a shallot cranberry sauce. I'm so excited to try these. These are great. These are a lot of fun to put together. All the ingredients that you need are right there. You don't have to run to the store at the last second. And if you're like me that likes to cook, but you don't have the imagination of a cook, that's my problem, is that I don't think outside the box. These allow you to create these really awesome dishes that you might not, if you're like me, create on your own. And here's the great part. The recipe cards are easy to follow. They give you a huge picture of the dish, of what it's supposed to look like, and then a step-by-step procedure, everything that you need to do in order to make it look fantastic on your plate. Taste for yourself. Join America's number one meal kit today. Get 60% off plus free shipping with the code HOOPS60, HelloFresh.com/HOOPS60. That's code HOOPS60. I'll tell you how big these are. My wife loves to go out. We love to go out to eat, but we try not to do it as much because it's kind of expensive to do. But I'm going to Houston next week for the Final Four, and then my wife and my daughter are taking a school trip to Europe. So I am actually going to be landing in Nashville when I return. from Houston, and I'll be picking up the card that they just dropped off in the parking lot. So we got like 2 weeks where we're not going to see each other. So we went out to dinner last night to be like, hey, we're going to have some HelloFresh meals this weekend. But even at dinner, while we were waiting for some steaks, we were talking about HelloFresh and how excited we were for the meals. They were that good. Really fun to prepare. So again, Hoops60 is the promo code that you want at HelloFresh.com for 60% off and then plus some free shipping with that code Hoops60. All right, so we're continuing with the madness, continuing with last night's game. So who was more impressive last night? Marquise Noel at Kansas State, Gonzaga, and Julian's...
It's not going to be him.
It's not going to be him?
It's not going to be Stroth... I'm forgetting his name.
I just had it on the tip of my tongue. Nevertheless, him, Marquise Noel, UConn is a team, Florida Atlantic is a team, because Florida Atlantic spread the ball around.
Yeah, but I think there was two players that really stuck out for me with Florida Atlantic, and that was, and their names are escaping me too. That's the problem with college kids.
Well, they're here today and gone tomorrow.
Exactly.
That's the whole thing. Strother was the kid that hit the shot for Gonzaga. Drew Timmy's performance last night was pretty impressive.
Yeah, Drew Timmy's performance, he was doing things with the ball. I didn't think we had seen it in a long time. But the two on Florida Atlantic, it was Michael Forrest.
Yeah, Michael Forrest was really good.
And who was the other one? Was it Martin? Davis.
No,
Johnny Davis.
Yeah, right, Johnny Davis. Yep,
yeah,
he was
Those two, I mean, Johnny Davis started off really slow, too. And then he just took over in the second half. But Michael Forrest off the bench, that was the one that was really surprised me because he nailed those crucial, critical three-pointers like later in the game, like 3 minutes left in the game.
You and I were talking earlier about Drew Timmy and him being the closest this generation's ever going to get to a Christian
without
Leitner
a
type
doubt.
Of player. And I want to expand on that more. Drew Timmy arrived in his freshman year during the COVID season, right? So they played a full basketball season, you all remember. They were all going to their conference tournaments, and then COVID hit, and then everybody was wondering what we're going to do. We're going to shut down, and they all started shutting down. But at the time, Gonzaga had won its conference tournament. So they were had already been done. We were already into the bigger conference tournaments, like the SEC was going on, the Big East was going on at the time. And Drew Timmy was becoming a name because he was a freshman at Gonzaga, and he was already establishing himself as a star in an excellent Gonzaga team that would have been either the number one overall seed, but definitely a number one seed going into a 2020 tournament that never happened. So he doesn't get to play in the NCAA tournament his freshman year. And then in 2021, he's got Gonzaga and along with a number of other players. Chet Holmgren was one of them. He got Gonzaga to the finals where they lost to Baylor. Jalen Suggs, of course, was the big star. He was there at the shot, but Drew Timmy was an important big man. Last year, they lost in they didn't make it to the Final Four last year. But again, Drew Timmy, another Gonzaga team, powerful basketball team, etc. And then this year, he's got him again into the Elite Eight. Now, look, are we saying it's exactly what Leitner? Of course not. Leitner went to four Final Fours and won two national championships, and Gonzaga has yet to win a title. But he's as close as you're going to get to a guy that's sticking around a long time because he's a player that is a star in college. I don't know what his future is going to be like in the NBA level, but when you get players that are in the transfer portal, it's hard to find continuity. Drew Timmy is continuity. And he's not good enough to escape the college reign after one season, after two seasons. He's been there long enough to establish himself as one of the great Gonzaga players of all time. So, again, he's as close to this generation's Christian Leitner as you're going to get without winning the title. And as we talked about with Leitner's career, if you're not old enough to remember it, it was probably the most in modern college basketball from 85 on when the expansion of the tournament went from 32 to 64, he's got a resume in college basketball that you just can't replicate. Like it's almost impossible. Like for everybody to say, you know how hard it is to make a Final Four? And for him to go, yeah, no, I actually don't know how hard it is to make a Final Four because I know nothing of Final Fours. My entire existence at the college I chose to play basketball for 4 years. Yeah, you know how hard it is to win a national championship? Some schools should get one. Yeah, well, I got two while I was there. We won back-to-back titles. Before Florida made it popular and UCLA was doing it every year, we won two at a time where you shouldn't win two. Look, even the great Georgetown team couldn't win two. Even the great Georgetown team couldn't win two. Right? They won in 84. They were the heavily favorites to win in 85, and they lost. UNLV couldn't win two. They lost to us in the Final Four. So Drew Timmies is close. If he gets a championship, yeah, that's about as close as you're going to get. Four-year guy, you know, presence in the tournament, star player, right? Name player, one of the top teams in college basketball. And if he wins a championship, it's a little bit more closer to that, but it's about as close as you're going to get.
Yeah, but don't you get the feeling they're going to fall short again?
I do, too. I do. I got a feeling. I think this is me. This is the way I see this. I think Mark Few is going to win a championship with Gonzaga in a year you don't think Gonzaga is capable of winning it. It could be this year, but I don't think it is. I don't think it's going to be one of these 32-1 teams that get to the final, you know, number one overall seed. I don't think it's ever going to be that. He's going to get a 3 seed like this year or 4 seed where you're like, Gonzaga's good. Gonzaga's good. But, yeah, you know, there's other teams that are better. There's another flavor of the month, and that's the team that wins it all, right? That's the way I just envision it. I really want Mark Few to win a title. I have no dog in the fight, but there's
well,
just
it
things
feels
I root
like,
for.
I mean, it just feels like Gonzaga's incomplete.
Really is.
And, you know, and maybe that puts them into the elite status or, you know, the new era of Blue Bloods. Because, I mean, they've been, what, was it late 90s when they burst on the scene?
Yeah, it was the late 90s.
Late
yeah,
90s.
Exactly, yeah.
So for 20-plus years, they've been, you know, they've taken a program where they were the Cinderella team to perennial favorites.
Look at the tournament today, right? Look at the field today. Go back to all the 68 teams. Who could you say on that list was an absolute nothing program that was a Cinderella program that then just transcended that label and became a national power, right? Most of the schools that are the top schools in the are in Power Six conferences, right? You know, they'll have ups, downs. They got the right coach, got the right players, right? Just like what Joseph Duarte said about Houston. Houston was a nothing basketball program. Kelvin Sampson's assistant on the Houston Rockets. It's a school that needed rebuilding. And he's like, you know what? I like the city. I'll do it. I got a choppy resume, but I'll do it. Mark Few at Gonzaga, they have been in our college basketball lives every month for forever and can't cross the finish line. Remarkable. Continue.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. So we were talking about Gonzaga and their run in the tournament. Their emergence as a team came in 1999. They were a 10 seed that went 25-6 out of the West Coast Conference. Dan Monson was the head coach at the time. And they ended up making a really strong run into the Elite Eight that year. And after that, it was Sweet 16 in 2000, Sweet 16 in 2001. So by 2001, they had 3 trips to the tournament where they went to the Elite Eight and the Sweet 16 twice. So at that moment, they're wearing the Cinderella slipper because here was their seeding back in the early days. So in 1999, they were a 10 seed, made it to the Elite Eight, lost to UConn. 2000, they were a 10 seed, made it to the Sweet 16, lost to Purdue. 2001, they were a 12 seed, made it to the Sweet 16, and lost to Michigan State. So they lost in the process. They lost to 2 number 1 seeds in their region. Purdue was a 6 seed. Now, in 2002, the year Maryland won the championship, they lost in the first round. In 2003, they lost in the second round. In 2004, they lost in the second round. In 2005, they lost in the second round again. So, okay, so let's go back. And then in 2006, they went to the Sweet 16. 2007 and 8, they lost in the first round. So from 1999 to 2008, you're not getting the Gonzaga's really awesome. But they were a two seed in 04, so they were upset by Nevada. But you're starting to see them go from a 10 seed, a 12 seed, to a 6, a 2, a 5, a 3. So now they're starting to get respect. They're starting to shed the Cinderella label by this point. But they're not going very far in the tournament. So the argument back then was, is Gonzaga really good? Now, if you are old enough to remember all of these tournaments, you probably remember a time, and we started talking about it even more as they would progress and they would lose in these tournaments, in the NCAA tournament, would say, are they demolishing the conference so much that they are not being refined enough when they get to the NCAA tournament? All right, so now they start falling back to earth a little bit in 2010, 8 seed, an 11 seed, a 7 seed. And then in 2013, they're the number one seed for the first time in school history. And at that point, outside of an 11 seed that they earned in 2016, they are ones all the way through with a 4 and a 3 mixed in. So the reason I bring this up is because we were talking about schools that come into our lives in March and we go, wow, where is that school even located? That's amazing. And then they're around a while and they're a little bit more consistent. They're the top dogs in their conference, so they're going to get a bid, right? I think we talked about this when the brackets were released just before the tournament, where we said, doesn't it feel like Vermont is always in this thing? And didn't we look it up and find out Vermont isn't in this thing as much as we thought? But it always felt like Vermont was in it. It's kind of like one of those schools. That was Gonzaga in the early days. Like, yep, here's your West Coast Conference champions. And
they again.
And then they turned it into a consistent presence in the tournament because of their conference. But then said, you know what? We are going to build this thing up. We are going to be a team that is going to recruit well. We're going to recruit internationally. We're going to have a solid coach in Mark Few that likes living here and is not interested in becoming a better paid coach somewhere else. Dusty May is at a school in Boca Raton, Florida, that has some of the best sunrises and sunsets you'll ever see. And I guarantee you he would trade it tomorrow for the brutal winters of some Northeast school that will pay him 10 times what he's making at Florida Atlantic. Mark Few, as you pointed out to me, loved fly fishing in Spokane. That's why he wanted to stay. Right?
Good fly
like all
fishing.
These schools. Hey, you want to coach it up Indiana or any of those? Nope. No.
I mean, let's think about this, right? Every blue blood program, every top-notch program that has been opened, I'm sure Mark Few would have been the leading candidate for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Duke, Kansas, or not Kansas. Kansas still holding on to their dream of Bill Self.
Right.
But, you know, Duke, North Carolina, you know, Syracuse, Villanova. I mean, I know Villanova, they're not blue bloods, but they seem to be in the tournament all the time. Michigan State, when it becomes available, like these teams, that schools that are always there. He has his pick, but he's going to say no.
Nope. Like, I just like where I'm at.
I like where I'm at.
And here's the deal. I am now a known commodity, meaning when I show up, I don't have to tell you where Gonzaga is. I don't have to tell you our success.
And you know what else?
We're now known.
He's also reached that threshold of being at a university where the university is going to say, you know what? From now on, the Bulldogs are going to play at the Mark Few Center.
Yeah, right. We're going to put,
if they haven't
already, name on the court. Right. We're going to put your name on the court. Exactly. And again, he's got to turn. Again, it's one thing to go from, yeah, we just win our little conference and then we're out in this tournament in a blink of an eye, to, hey, we surprised people, but that's not the end of our story. Because this tournament, I had to go back to 1999. That's a long time. That's 24 years that Gonzaga went from, that Gonzaga has gone, has made the transition of, whoa, who are they? To, wow, they should win the whole thing. Why haven't they won the whole thing yet? Right? And very similar to Mike Krzyzewski at Duke. You know, Duke had a little bit of success in the 60s, but for the most part, Mike Krzyzewski comes in from Army, and he's taken over a Duke program, and he builds it to a point where every year you can count on Duke like clockwork. They'll be there, they're going to be in the tournament, and they're going to be competitive. That takes a while because a whole bunch of schools have had moments in the sun. How many of them have been able to be consistent? Well, you need a couple of things to be consistent. One, I honestly believe this. I think you really do need it. I'm not talking about North Carolina or Kansas or Indiana or Syracuse. I'm not talking about those schools that are in major conferences. I'm talking about a Gonzaga. I'm talking about a Illinois Chicago. I'm talking about a schools that have had success. You need a coach that's willing to stay at that program for a long period of time because you have to build something with that individual. Because you change coaches, it's reminding people that it's not the be-all, end-all. And I think few staying at Gonzaga has sent a signal to everybody in college basketball that this isn't a one-train stop thing. That this isn't a school that's like, you come here when you're 35 and you leave here a multimillionaire at another place. We just talked about Dusty May. He's getting $500,000 a year to coach the college basketball program at Florida Atlantic. By beating Tennessee last night, he is now one of the top coaches that you would want to get if you are making a coaching change. And believe me, he would trade the 75-degree and sunny weather and the beaches of Boca Raton for the freezing cold of a Syracuse or a Providence or any other place if he could get into a major conference and double his money or triple his money.
What if, and hear me out, what if it's Tennessee?
Right. Yeah, what if it's Tennessee? That would be wild.
Not only did we kick you out of the tournament, I took your job.
We took your job. And Mark Few said, okay, look, I can build a consistent program here. So if you are wanting to go to Gonzaga, you don't have to worry about the coach going, yeah, when the bright lights start shining in other places like L.A. or Houston or New York City, I'm going no place. I like the view. I like the fly fishing. I like the community. I'm staying. So you could now commit to a Gonzaga knowing the coach that you like is going to be there a while. And the other, like, look at Illinois-Chicago. Illinois-Chicago, Sister Jean. How many Sister Jean runs in the tournament did we get out of that? Like, I think two or three,
two.
Right?
I think two.
Two major ones. They got one in the Final Four, and then there was one, what, a year, 2 years ago?
Yeah, because they got interrupted by COVID.
That's right.
2018, they went to the Final Four. I think 2019, they got bounced early, which was a shock to everyone. Then 2020, no tournament. I think it was 2021.
21. And then there was another one. But who was the guy behind that? Porter Mosier.
Yep.
And he's now the head coach at Oklahoma. Now, did you see Illinois-Chicago in the tournament? Because I didn't. Right?
No.
It happens. You get the Valparaiso.
You know where
Bryce
I saw
Drew's
it?
Bryce Drew's dad was the head coach. Nothing.
I saw Loyola-Chicago in this year's tournament as the, you know, quote-unquote, that's who Florida Atlantic is now.
Right. Exactly. and you know what? Florida Atlantic, we talked to the young man from who's
Zach Weinberger.
Zach Weinberger. We talked to him, and he says they're building something. But I got to be honest with you. They're only building something as far as Dustin May goes. If
yep.
they get a new coach, who knows? I can't guarantee that Florida.
No, because he's not going to want to stay.
Maybe
he's not going to want to, you know, like you've been saying all along. He'll as soon as if Syracuse comes calling because they're looking for a coach.
Well, they got Adrian Autry.
Well, so I know, but I mean, or, you know, whoever.
Some other school that's freezing cold.
Yeah, he'll leave Florida for it.
Yeah. So So credit to Gonzaga for being a presence in the college basketball world, going from Cinderella and then staying and getting to the top and staying there.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, we'll continue as a roll along. Lombardi Lines coming up next on Sports Map Radio as we continue on a Friday. Enjoy the games, everybody, tonight and through the weekend, and then we'll have our complete...
I don't know if I can handle a set of games like last night tonight.
I don't know.
I need some sleep. I need some sleep.
I know. Dear, I didn't go to bed. I went to bed. It was one of those nights where it was 11:30 when the game was over, and then I laid in bed, like,
I was so jazzed.
Process all of it. And I was like, God, I'm not getting to sleep. I got to get some sleep.
It was literally, it was just that final sequence of UCLA Gonzaga. I mean, yeah. I had processed, you know, what we watched between Kansas State and Michigan State, because that was an epic battle.
That was great.
You know,
great
overtime battle. And it's too bad that was early, the first game out.
Yeah. You know? By the way, Brian Anderson is a good play-by-play announcer.
I think he is.
I don't think he's getting the notoriety like a Kevin Harlan gets, like where Kevin Harlan makes a call.
No, no.
Anderson's a good play-by-play guy.
But, good, I mean, just that final, what, 3 minutes of Gonzaga-UCLA where you just kept seeing, like, all of a sudden, a blink of an eye, I was like, UCLA's tied.
Yeah.
Where did this – did I miss it? I'm watching every step of the way. It's like, how did that happen?
It's crazy. So, yeah, you might get this all weekend. Then Monday we'll be going over the Final Four. Then I will be in Houston for the rest of the week on Tuesday. Are you excited for studio work? Come on. We had such a good dinner at that Brazilian steakhouse when I was in town.
You want to replicate it. I get it.
I do. But you know what? If we do it again, I won't leave you sitting in the restaurant for as long as I did. But to my credit, I barely knew where I was going.
What do you mean you left me? You didn't leave me.
I remember you got there, and I said, I'll be there, but then I got the rent-a-car, and I was driving. I'm in traffic. I didn't know.
You weren't that.
Okay.
You make it sound like I was sitting there for hours.
You know, because I people like, I'm waiting for a friend, and then like, yeah, what friend? There's nobody coming. You've been here a half an hour. You want more bread? What's going on?
I mean, they came up and said, sir, can we take these two chairs?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you need this? Oh, you know, you go ahead and take that chair. Just leave that one. I promise you, he's coming.
Who's coming? Mr. Snuffleupagus? Is that who's coming? Right?
In fact.
Lonely guy in the restaurant.
How dare you? He is already sitting there. Don't you see him?
So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm excited to be part of the Houston Final Four, see the city experience.
I'm hoping Houston can make it through because
I do too.
There will be a different level of excitement.
I agree completely. I think that's so true. That's so
true. You know, it's like, you know, Joseph Girardi was talking about. It's like, you know, this Houston always will be a Texas A&M fan base because that's, you know, that's what this town is mainly made up of, are graduates from that school. But Houston has been able to carve their notch, and Houston is one of those teams where Texas fan can go, I can root for Houston. I live in Houston.
That's a great point.
Texas A&M fan can go, I can root for Houston. Yep. I live in the city.
Sure. Here in Nashville, that doesn't happen because Tennessee and Vanderbilt are big rivals. So if you like Tennessee, you do not like Vanderbilt. Even if the city is like, hey, it's Nashville and Vanderbilt's doing this and they're
and
winning
honestly,
the baseball
you know what's
championship
funny?
Or whatnot.
You know what's funny? That'll never change.
Right.
Because as soon as Houston, which, you know, and so I guess in some ways is part of the Big 12 now. I don't know.
Yeah,
you know, it's a gray area.
Right.
Texas won't be.
Right. Texas won't be.
So
right.
There'll never be like, oh, you can't root for two Big 12 teams. That's blasphemy.
That's right.
And then if you're a Texas A&M, it doesn't matter if you're just happy they're in the same conference again.
Sure. Exactly. So I'm really looking forward to it. So. What else was I going to get to today? I forgot. Oh, yes. I forgot. I almost forgot.
Great soccer. I'm just kidding.
Uh-huh. I was so excited yesterday. I was watching PTI and Tony Kornheiser. He does this every now and then, but I loved it because he nailed Michael Wilbon on his name dropping.
Remember
I told you how much I hate that from Wilbon?
Yes.
The name dropping. You could have a drinking game. And you would have to. You could take a multiple shots on any time Michael Wilbon says he was at a game, or he's best, or he's really good friends with the people that they're talking about. And so there was a double whammy yesterday on PTI where they were talking about how 30 years ago the Knicks and the Suns, I don't remember, the Suns and so and so got in a fight. Dan Marley was in it. Kevin Johnson was in it. And there was the fight. And Wilbon said, I was at that game, and he goes, and I'm good friends with those guys now. And Tony Kornheiser called him out on the name dropping. He's like, oh, you're such a name dropper. And just kind of, it was talking about how he'll go to dinner. They'll take him to dinner at a restaurant that one of them owns and whatnot. And I was like,
and
I
all
know.
Honesty, though, is Michael Wilbon, is the best game that he went to, Virginia Chaminade.
The Virginia Chaminade game? I would love to ask him. I was like, of all the things you've seen as a sports writer, all these games, everything you've been, because you know what he was, he also pointed out he brought up this story too, which was again, another shot if you're just drinking along. where they were talking about how the there was a game, Laker game, where there was a complete discrepancy in the free throw shooting, which we saw 20 years ago in Sacramento in Game 6. And they were saying, do you remember when the Lakers had all these free throws and the Kings didn't have any, and it kind of made a Game 7? And Wilbon said, I was at that game. I had to write about it, and I wrote so many scathing things about it in my column. David Stern called me to talk to me about it. And I was like, there you go. Just pouring it down the old gullet until you can't walk straight anymore. That's what he does. But I'm like, he was there. He was here. Okay. I'm trying to follow the map, but you're right. If I went to him and said, give me the most impactful thing you can remember, like your top five, he probably put Chaminade, Virginia.
He's got to be in there.
He's got to be near the top. To be one of the only few people that saw it live, to be one of the only few people that can say, I was at the game and I saw every play of it. So you, me, because I was, I was a kid, but I heard through the grapevine that it happened. He saw it develop. He saw every play. He saw how Chaminade did this. There's not even video on it. Like, you can't even go to YouTube and find it.
It's almost it was made up.
Like he saw, he's like, I, in the first half, they did this, and then in the second half, they did this, and they did this, and they neutralized that, and Samson was sick, and you could tell he was off, and he saw the whole thing, so. But I got a kick out of Kornheiser calling out his longtime buddy. It wasn't in frustration, though. Like, I might have been, like you might have caught me on the rolling my eyes if I was on that show. I'd be like, oh, here we go.
Here we go again.
Here we go again. And don't get me wrong. I respect Michael Wilbon's career. It's a great career. Great career. And here's
I mean, but if I'm in Wilbon's position, I might sit there I might drop the Pope.
But you're right. I might do the same thing.
At some point, if I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I hate when people do this because I like it when I hear people kind of rip somebody. I like them when they just stay that way. But I have a caveat. I have a caveat that says I don't try to pretend it's something it's not. In 2004, the NCAA tournament was in Denver. I was covering that tournament. Michael Wilbon was too. And I was talking to him in the media room. And he was a really, really great guy. He was a really nice guy. And here's how I can tell. Here's like when I end up talking to a higher end media personality when I was younger, if they're looking somewhere else, I know that they're just kind of placating me. They're just like, oh, yeah, whatever. It's great. Looking for somebody else to talk to. He really was interested in, we were just talking about some teams, and he was really interested in talking to me, and we just had not a long conversation, but long enough, and I was like, all right, so he's a nice guy. I still don't like the name dropping, but I got to admit he was a nice guy. Now, maybe in almost 20 years,
okay, how about this? You'll like the name dropping when he's like, and if he's sitting there yelling at Tony Kornheiser, he's like,
right,
Tony, you're not even the most important Tony I've met.
Right. What if he says that?
What if he goes, hey, there's Tony D.
Yeah.
He should be sitting in that chair.
Exactly. So I got to admit,
when
people
are definitely higher
nice,
than K on the alphabet.
They're nice to me. I got to give them credit. I like, Now, I can tell you a few stories of some that were very rude.
Oh, there's plenty of those out there.
Plenty of those. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. But I'm really looking forward to this weekend. I think these games, I hope tonight is.
I think tonight's going to be the same. I really do. I mean, we have two number one teams going up against a 4 and a 5. That's what it's supposed to be at this stage.
But I'm with you. I'm pulling for Houston now. I do want to see the city in how it reacts to the Cougars.
And you know what? For tonight, I want anarchy.
You want a little San Diego State?
No. I think I want Alabama. I want Alabama to go through, okay. But I want Alabama to go all the way through because I want a good national title.
I do too. I want.
But I would not mind, and I'm sorry to say this to all you Creighton fans out there. I think I would like to see Princeton into the Elite
Princeton,
Eight.
A little Princeton Elite Eight.
I mean, I think it'd just be fun.
My goodness gracious, they get all the big-time banking and politic jobs in the world. It's like one of their star players in the history of Princeton basketball is Bill Bradley. Now, you may know Bill Bradley as a Nick, but I know Bill Bradley as a longtime U.S. senator because he went to Princeton, for crying out loud. So they get all the power jobs, and you want them in the Elite Eight? I'm kind of with you. I kind of want to see it. I'm kind of interested in seeing that. All right, the Lombardi Line is coming up next. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. We'll be back on Monday.